Welcome to Supernatural Podcast episode number 43 for Bad Day at Black Rock. The episode was written by Ben Edlund and directed by Robert Singer and originally aired in the U.S. on October 18, 2007. Let's move on to a synopsis. The recap is by Kristen and her friends Chris and Katie.
Summary for episode 3.3, Bad Day at Black Rock.
So our show opens with a miscellaneous hunter visiting our old friend Gordon in jail. Bad news, and Gordon lets him know that he thinks Sam Winchester's gotta go. So we rejoin our boys in their Impala, where Dean is admonishing Sam for trusting Ruby, our new demon friend.
Who we don't
who
like.
We all loathe.
Right.
Dean doesn't really think that Ruby's gonna help them out like she says she will.
But you know, Dean goes, what else did she say or whatever? And then Sam's quiet, and then he says, dude. And Sam goes, nothing. And then
no, I remembered. The Mary stuff.
Yeah, the Mary stuff.
He's hiding things, and that pisses me off.
Yeah.
The stuff about his mom.
Yeah, and yeah, he hasn't told Dean about his half-demon blood stuff yet.
Why
yeah.
wouldn't Sam have told Dean about that? That kind of confused
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
like, does it want to leave me. Baggage
well, when,
behind?
When Sam, when Dean knew that Sam wasn't, you know, completely
human,
well,
yeah,
he was treating him differently, and kind of with gloves on and stuff like
that's
that.
That's true.
So.
Yeah.
But
I
still,
know.
Dean thinks that Sam may not be 100% Sam.
I thought we were past all this, like, hiding things from each other stuff. That is sub-season two. After their little argument, they suddenly get a phone call, and it's not either of their phones. It's actually, Daddy.
It was their dad's phone.
Yeah, it was a guy at a storage facility letting them know that, the box that he'd rented, or the room that he'd rented, was broken into.
Ooh. And they were like, box? Dad had a rental storage place?
So much drama
like,
about
what?
That.
I know.
They were like, we don't even know this man.
It was great.
That's happened like five times. They're like, what? Dad knew these people at his bars.
I always think it's
true.
Hilarious when they reveal some new, like you were just saying, whenever they reveal some new piece of information about John, they're like, oh my god, I thought I knew you, Daddy,
They should know by
after,
now that
yeah,
they don't know him
after
at
a while,
all.
they should figure it out.
Well,
speaking of things
dumb.
That their dad never told them, among these things in his storage facility was a bunch of cursed boxes, and one of them is missing.
Gasp.
And the contents are pretty sweet, actually. One of my favorite Lucky Charms, a rabbit's foot.
I thought it was great that they did an entire episode about a cursed object.
Yeah.
And that it was a lucky rabbit's foot, which is so identifiable.
So the guy who stole it is suddenly, like, amazingly lucky. And when Sam and Dean show up to take it back, hijinks ensue.
That was so hilarious.
I just, like, the bullets ricocheting.
He drops the gun on the floor, and it hits Sam's gun. It's like,
it
how
so
likely
great.
Is that?
But when Sam
okay,
finally does
you
get our rabbit's foot, their luck totally turns around, and then it's Sam winning the day, which is hilarious.
And both of the thieves knocked themselves out, which was pretty easy.
Oh my gosh. People fall, like,
oh,
unconscious.
Oh, I fell,
so
and a book
easily.
Fell on me. I'm unconscious now.
Oh, man. So anyway, Dean, being this season's Dean, decides to take advantage of Sam's amazing good luck and buys a bunch of scratch tickets.
That was hilarious.
It was actually a good idea.
I
was thinking about that. I was like, why don't they go buy a lottery ticket? Oh, yep, there's Dean. Okay, we're good.
Yeah. Dean's
oh,
got
man.
The bases covered.
Like, this season's Dean. Because his personality did kind of change
his personality
a little bit.
Is
yeah,
so different.
It's supposed to be, he's supposed to be carefree and stuff now that he only has a one year to live.
Well, judging by Dean of our past seasons, if he knew he only had 1 year left to live, and there were all these demons on the loose that his brother would have to take care of when he was gone.
True.
He would be like, oh my god, I gotta make the world safe for my baby bro!
Which also brings into question why they put the comedy episode as the third one of the season.
I know!
They usually have that halfway through.
Yeah, we need some, like low lows
well,
and some, like, gore and angst for
well,
a while.
Have you noticed the episodes so far have all been pretty gory. I think they're trying
yeah.
to cancel it out with making, like, all the episodes a little funnier.
We go back to our thieves, or our foiled thieves, where one of them is stumbling into the kitchen to...
After waking up from being knocked
yeah,
out.
Yeah, after waking up, he stumbles into the kitchen to rinse his face.
But
yeah.
then they pick up that
fork thing. He sticks it straight up. I'm like, you dumbass! Because he's unlucky and his subconscious is going, damn it, I have to do this because I'm gonna die later.
Sam has just called Bobby, found out the rabbit's foot's bad.
Oh no! You lose it and you lose the luck that you gained by grabbing it
then
in the first place.
Then I won't lose it. Everybody loses it.
But of course his luck continues so far, and walking into the diner he realizes he and Dean have free meals for a year.
And Dean's so excited.
And then of course we have that haughty waitress with the black hair who comes over and like, yeah, I'm like, wow, she's being all flirty, spilling coffee on Sam.
That's more than lucky.
If this was ever a time to get lucky.
Oh, that's so
didn't you love when they both leaned in at the same time?
Yeah, your ass. That was great. The waitress, who we learned his name is Bella, has stolen Sammy's rabbit's foot. So, of course, Dean has to get to the bottom of this, and so he goes back to the thief, whose friend just died, and so trying to get a lead on Bella. I love his, like...
I can't read
people. Yeah, his, like, special speech. He's like, I know you're not a bad guy.
And but I love how that comes
I
up
knew
later.
He was gonna bring that back, because he had rehearsed it. Yeah. He walked in, he's like... Yeah. You may be a thief, but you're not a murderer. I was like, he totally rehearsed that on the way over, didn't he?
So anyway, back to Jesus Freak, minus Gordon this time. But Jesus Freak and his other hunter friend are chasing down Sam and Dean. And Jesus Freak is insisting that it's divine will that has led them there.
Dun dun dun!
But
of course it's just Sammy Darling's bad luck,
which really sucks.
And then we hear back from Bobby, who has figured out a way he thinks will get rid of the rabbit foot's curse. But of course Sammy's lost the rabbit foot.
Right, and Bobby is not too happy about that.
And then we have that lovely gum incident.
I love that part.
So Sam gets gum on his shoe with the bad luck and everything. He goes to wipe it off on the grate, and of course somehow his shoe magically gets stuck in the grate and falls in. While Dean is having this conversation, he turns around and Sam's just standing there looking so sad. He's like, I lost my shoe.
He looks so
adorable.
Utterly defeated. It was so sad.
And like, you want to hug him before, but then you're just like, oh, I want to go hug you now even more.
So anywho, Dean thinks he's found a solution to Sam the Pariah's luck. He just shoves him in a hotel room, tells him not to move, blink, breathe funny, or scratch his nose.
Which of course that makes him want to scratch his nose.
Yeah. While he's gone, so he's off to find Bella. Of course, then we have some incidents with the AC.
And the comedy music starts playing, you know something's gonna happen.
Smoke comes out, Sam's like, give me a break!
He's like, come on, I'm sitting right here.
You knew that was gonna happen. It's like, he's sitting perfectly still. Even if he does nothing but scratch his nose, it's like, oh look, it's on fire.
And I love that Gordon's friends had just, like, happened to be checking into that hotel when Sam rips aside the curtains and knocks himself out.
Again, knocking himself out really easily.
Back to our more attractive brother. Dean's walking purposefully into Bella's house to totally steal that rabbit foot back.
How'd you like the monologuing by Bella about you sociopath hunters trying to save a world?
I was like, whatever. I was really pissed at that point. I was like, oh, because you're doing something that's so much better.
True.
I applaud you.
I don't understand how she can criticize him, but I do kind of agree with her assessment of hunters.
Parallelism.
You guys don't like Bella?
No, I don't like her. I'm not a fan.
I
like Ruby better.
Kate, see, if
really?
They...
Yeah.
I think Bella's acting is better. I like Bella's character. I think it's interesting we haven't seen it in Supernatural so far.
Back to Dean being ridiculously lucky.
Oh, yeah. How do you go off on that, too?
Funniest lucky kid ever.
Oh, Batman!
And he busts in to save Sam from our guys just in the nick of time.
Okay.
He was so showing off.
It was Sam was so, he knew what was gonna happen, so he was like, time to be Batman!
Sam was so modest about it, he didn't even want to scratch and win the tickets.
I thought was so ironic at the beginning, was Sam was the one that got the lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
wasn't about to, like, overuse the luck. And then he's just
Sam.
Like, my turn!
Anyway, once Sam's finally free, our boys head off to try to get rid of it. They go to all the trouble of building their little funeral pyre for our rabbit. Anywho, yeah, Bella shows up and Dean gives his little, like, I know you're not a killer speech, and she's like, bam, shoots Sam.
Yeah. Oh, like, you just shot me in the arm!
And then what does Dean say?
I feel so bad for Sam.
What's wrong with you? You don't just go around shooting people! Dean finally, like, solves the problem with some quick thinking. And throws the rabbit foot at Bella. And she catches it with her bare hand.
Think fast.
Luckily, she agrees to burn it. And...
because she has no choice, really.
Yeah.
She lets go of that thing. She's dead.
She leaves down $1.5 million, but up $46,000 worth of scratch tickets. And we close it with Jesus Freak visiting Gordon again in prison, declaring that he totally knows and understands that Sam Winchester must
it's
die.
God's will.
Thanks for the divine revelation, yo. And Gordon lets him know that he should break him out of jail.
And so Sam Winchester must die. So, I would give this episode an A because I love comedy episodes.
Me
and I
too.
Thought it was really, really good for doing an entire episode about a rabbit's foot.
I definitely give it an A because I love comedy episodes and it was adorable.
I would definitely give this episode at least a B, but we don't need comedy this early.
That's
I'm already
true.
Happy to see Supernatural. I want to get to where I'm like, oh, it's dragging, and there's so much angst, and I love it, but I'm getting depressed.
This is Kristen.
And Katie.
And Chris.
And we enjoyed talking to you guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Great job with the recap. Let's move on to analysis and theories and my discussion with Josh. Hi, this is Ellen.
And this is Josh.
And let's jump into our thoughts. What do you think overall?
Overall, I thought this episode was pretty humorous without being too over the top. I think it really worked for Sam and Dean, who are, you know, normally lighthearted and jokey about their jobs in general when they're not being too broody. But it was a little weird when it came to the other characters.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I mean, I just didn't know if we were supposed to take them seriously, like the new, I guess, Hunter Kubrick and the new thief Bella, or were they, you know, they looked like they were set up to be major players, but they didn't come across as too serious.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it didn't seem tongue-in-cheek like we had with Tall Tales, like it was supposed to be that way.
Right.
Everyone was just kind of off base a little bit, but I liked it a lot. I think it wasn't as good as last week, but it's a really good, strong opening for season three, and it's maintained it, so.
I agree. I think it's setting up to be a strong season. Hope, you know, possibly pass up season two.
I hope so. Sophomore season is always a rough one, but season three looks promising. You're right about the new characters, though. I don't know. At least we know all their names. We kind of know a little bit more about them now, but it seemed like they were all in on the same joke that the audience wasn't in on.
It's true. It was more of a, I don't know, a tone that we're not used to on the show. I mean, we're used to having funny and we're used to having scary, but we're not used to having, like, dramedy.
Yeah. What did you like?
Although I thought the idea of the storage unit was very convenient, I did like the fact that their bad daddy John did keep souvenirs of his kids' accomplishments. It kind of pointed out that maybe they had a little bit of a normal childhood or little spots of normalcy in their childhood.
Yeah, you know, we've always wondered, how did they get high school diplomas?
Exactly.
Like, where did they go to school? Were they actually in one place long enough, or were they homeschooled? Or, you know, we've always said these questions, and here we know at least Sam was on a soccer team. So he had to have been in one place long enough to go to division and become a champion. My favorite thing was that Sam was honest with Dean about Ruby.
Oh, I agree. I think it was great that he actually talked to her about about his meeting with her.
Yeah, and he wasn't completely honest, but he at least told her, clued him in a little bit as to what's going on instead of just hiding it.
I agree. I think that's something that maybe the writers are being more aware of, because that was such a huge part of season two where they kept secrets from each other and it got really tiresome after a while. So here's hoping that's not a theme of season three.
But I like that while Sam was defending Ruby, and Dean got all upset. He's like, she's a demon. What are you doing? He's like, no, I don't trust her, but I want to use her.
Right.
And that's something he never had the chance to use Meg. Like, by the time they knew what was going on, it was too late to have some sort of relationship with her. But with Ruby, they're setting up a nice relationship that might kind of cross over.
I think that's great, too. And I hadn't thought about that till you mentioned it. But now that you do, I think it would be great for them to have a give and take as opposed to them always being manipulated, because it seems like they're always being a part of somebody else's plan, and it would be nice if they finally, you know, were more of a participant in what's going on instead of just getting played, especially when it comes to the demon community.
Yes. The problem with this episode was there wasn't a lot of continuity.
Yeah, it was like, you know, a humorous moment strung together by this myth of a rabbit's foot.
There was a lot of introductions, which was great. You know, you got a lot of backstory as far as what Gordon's been up to. We see the continuity. He's still in prison. He's still the same personality as the black and white thinking. He's determined Sam is evil and must be killed regardless of any other facts. Like, this was stuff I liked. I liked the fact that they brought Gordon back and that he didn't give up his fight. And he still has the same strong personality as ever. So I thought that was really cool.
You want to strangle him because he's being so hard-headed, but it's good that you have that kind of character around.
Yeah, and that the fact that they didn't forget about him.
It makes the seeing Gordon again, and maybe it sits up in the head, but it makes me wonder about their other nemesis, you know, the FBI agent that Henriksen, and is he going to pop back up? You know, aren't they still on the run from him as well?
I think we'll see him again this season, especially with the war being on, and I think they're going to be a lot more visible, which means they'll have a lot more possibility of being caught by some law enforcement. Oh, and then on the same note, Bobby showed up, but he kind of filled the role that we saw Ash have last season, where he just kind of fills in some information gaps. He was there to explain the curse boxes and the rabbit's foot and how it all worked, and it was very convenient to have him there. But at least he was there. At least they didn't just kind of jump from one thing to another. There was a little bit of explanation.
Yeah, I mean, I like Bobby. I like to see him around. I just hope he isn't the guy that's going to be always bailing Dean and Sam out, because it seems like he's always telling them how stupid they are. And, you know, they did the first season, most of it, by themselves, and a lot of the second season, but now it seems like they screw up every episode and need Bobby's help.
Well, yeah, and Dean actually brought up the fact that they had this kind of stuff in John's journal, and how they couldn't have figured it out by themselves, I'm not quite sure, or it was just convenient to have Bobby show up.
Exactly. I guess they needed some way to find out about Bella, so they had to bring Bobby in instead of just figuring it out from John's journal or some other way on their own.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Gordon and new guy, Kubrick, they were talking about Bobby as if he's this really well-known hunter, and everybody seems to know him, and his opinion is very highly sought after. So perhaps, you know, that's something that we hadn't really seen of Bobby before, and I think the fact that everybody knows him will help them, but it could also hinder them.
Right. That's true. It might mean that he's going to be some sort of major player in the coming war, seeing as how there seems to be split groups on whether or not to believe him or not.
Yeah, but as we know, Bobby is very set in his location. He's not a traveler.
Right.
So perhaps that's, you know, they're relying more on Bobby because this is new stuff for them and they don't want to screw up, because they've already had this feeling like, oh, crap, I opened the devil's gate. This is all my fault. I really don't want to screw up anymore, so let's have Bobby help us.
Right.
But that we won't see Bobby out on the road with him because we know his base is in South Dakota and that's where he hangs out.
That's true. It's just going to be like a home base for them now that the roadhouse is blown up.
Yeah, exactly. And who hasn't seen a rabbit's foot before?
No kidding. That was a big rabbit's foot. That was the whole leg. It wasn't just the foot.
The scenes with the rabbit's foot were really amusing.
They were. They were really done well as far as the comedy goes and the direction goes.
It was, you know, Dean was almost giddy in those scenes. I mean, Sam was pretty much his usual self, only not so angsty.
I really enjoyed seeing Jerry Padalecki do slapstick. Maybe it's because he's like 8 feet tall, but when he falls down, it's really funny. And I can't believe it looked like they really had his arm on fire, which seems risky. But they did the close-up, and I was like, is that his arm on fire?
I know there are ways of doing fire safely, but you still, I mean, as accident prone as he is, you think they wouldn't let him anywhere near the fire.
Exactly. Yes, those scenes were very funny. Dean dodging a punch just by stepping to the side and all of that was hilarious.
And I liked the photo of the 1,000,000th customers. You see Sam frowning and Dean is like, I won the lottery. How cool is this? I get free food forever. Well, it's forever to him because it's good for a year.
Yeah, and speaking of those scenes with the rabbit's foot, it was, to me, it had kind of like a little bit of Final Destination with it, because it's like, oh, you know, once they lost it, they were destined to die, and then they ended up in these crazy, you know, accidents, ended up killing them.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about the connection with Final Destination. You know, it's funny, I just did a podcast on that too, so I should have been thinking about that movie, but I didn't even catch that, but you're right. It was like these improbable ways of dying, but they were totally accidental if you didn't know all the facts.
Bottle and getting impaled on a barbecue fork.
Yeah. You know, as soon as I saw him put the fork like facing out that direction, right. I'm like, who does that? That's such a bad idea.
Yeah, it is.
You're inviting your own destiny there.
No kidding. If you like your eyes, don't stick it out that way.
What was he using that thing for anyway?
Why is that the only dirty dish?
There was a colander, a plate, and a barbecue fork.
Right. That other hotel room, though, was another one of our famous tackily decorated rooms.
You know, I think we've seen parts of that room before.
I think so, too. Like the weird scent or divider things that are hanging. You know?
I know we've seen those before.
You just know that the set designers are like, what kind of hideous wallpaper can we get?
We've been seeing Sam put in front of, like, big red lights lately, like red backgrounds.
Oh.
And, they're so big that you just can't miss them. But, like, in this one, behind the ugly little lattice fencing stuff, there was this huge, like, red, round, rose print wallpaper thing behind him.
Oh, yeah.
And he was sitting in front of it in that scene where, you know, he was trying not to move or do anything at all. And so he's kind of framed by this big red light sort of looking thing. And I'm like, are they really trying to push colors this season?
Maybe it's some kind of foreshadowing.
Yeah, because they're already using blue and yellow for demonic colors.
Oh, that's right. The new zombie Sam color.
Like in M. Night Shyamalan's movies, every time you see red, you know it has something to do with somebody dead or supernatural or something.
Right. Is Bella on your like or did not like list?
Bella is squarely in my I don't like list, and she makes Ruby look really great. I was on the fence about Ruby until I met Bella. Now I'm like, okay.
I don't know how to feel about her, but I feel that the whole sexy thief thing, is she good? Is she bad? That's kind of overdone, and her accent was really distracting.
Oh, I know. I kept thinking, what a terrible accent this is. I mean, is she really British, or are they just trying to make her seem exotic?
I don't know. It's like, what is going on?
I mean, if that's her real accent, I'm very sorry, but that's terrible.
Plus, she's cheap. She was going to make $1.5 million off the rabbit's foot and only paid her henchman $200, which is why she deserved Dean's judgy face. She's a truly awful person.
You know, I kind of like what they're doing, though, with the two new girls, because they kind of mirror the boys. You know, Ruby and Sam have a lot in common, and Bella and Dean are kind of mere opposites of each other.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So that I think they're trying to match them up where they have, like, an equal and opposite force.
That's true. I didn't think about that. They have a little bit more personality infused automatically than, say, Joe did last season. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how often they bring both of them back.
Yeah, you know, I can see how we would see Ruby often.
Right.
But with Bella, I don't know how often they're going to have a reason to bring her in. Unless she turns into kind of a revenge character where she's like, man, they stole $1.5 million of mine, so I want to get them back.
Right. She might be better as an antagonist than as a, you know, a partner.
Oh, I also like the parallel that they had to Benders this episode. You see that this was a episode without any supernatural baddies. They tie Sam up and they torture him. I mean, we saw that scene in the Benders.
What else did you not like?
Well, on the same note that I liked Sam's honesty with Dean about Ruby, he wasn't honest with Dean about Mary.
So there are still secrets going on.
Yes, and as much as he seems honest and that Dean thinks that he's okay, he is hiding that bit about Mary and her friends. But I think perhaps, Sam, in their defense, that he's trying to hide it until he knows the whole story, because he doesn't want to give him half the story or burden Dean with it. He just wants to try to figure it out on his own. Plus, Dean was much closer to Mary than Sam was. So it's going to rekindle a lot of tough feelings.
Right. I'm sure, you know, in Dean's mind, he sees his mother as kind of more, you know, idealized after all this time, an angelic mm-hmm. presence, and wouldn't want to hear anything bad like that. Right. I think any secrets that they have, especially when there's a demon involved like Ruby, can only work against them. I did not like Kubrick. Mm-hmm. I did not think he was very convincing as either a crazy person or an earnest hunter. I couldn't tell where he was supposed to fall. He just seemed goofy.
Yeah, what's with all the religious stuff? The bumper stickers, the little face of Jesus thing, you know, all the quotes and the mission and God was showing him the way and stuff. It's like, whoa, what's up with this guy?
I know, dude. Like, you know, are you supposed to think of him as some kind of religious nut? But that doesn't seem like the kind of guy that Gordon would, I don't know, hook up with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, religion is not really mentioned in the show at all. They try to kind of stray away from that. Even in the episodes where we see churches or priests or something, it's very low key. And then here we have this guy who's like a religious fanatic.
Right.
Hunter.
And then a goofy little sidekick who's just like along for the ride.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that guy.
Yep, he was on my big do not like list, and that's probably why I didn't pay as much attention to Bella, because I was too busy not liking him. But, you know, speaking of the weirdness of the rabbit's foot, I was wondering, you know, how did the thieves know which box to take out of the storage place? Is that something that the dead people told Bella when she was contacting him on the Ouija board?
You know, they would have to explain what the symbols were. I mean, not everybody knows what all the markings were.
Right.
I was trying to get a good look at them and see if I could recognize any of them, but I don't think we've seen them before. If I'm wrong, I just didn't do a screenshot. It was, you know, a quick glance. But
right.
Seriously, there were all those boxes, and how would they know which one? And they didn't even know what was in the box.
Yeah, and they didn't seem like the most competent thieves, unless it said like was labeled, you know, cursed rabbit's foot in here.
I can't see John with a label maker, I'm sorry.
Definitely one of the huh moments of the episode.
But even if they went in just to get that box, look at all that other stuff there. They're thieves. Why didn't they take something?
Especially since he got shot for it.
Yeah, and got his $200. And you'd think there would have been some sort of protection on there besides just like a padlock.
Maybe. Maybe he was counting on the place being a secret. And what else did he keep in there? I wonder if that's going to come into play for the rest of the season at all.
But I mean, Dean didn't even know about it. How did John get away from Dean long enough to go to Buffalo and hide stuff?
I don't know, maybe more of those supposed road trips that he's supposed to go on by himself.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, you always think of the Winchesters as being completely mobile, where they never had any roots. And here, he even has a storage unit where he's like, you know, holding on to all this stuff from their childhood. So it was obvious that they rooted somewhere, or that he kind of had that rooting mentality. Because otherwise he wouldn't have had all that stuff.
It's true. It would have been hard to move with him around every place they went.
Hitch it up to the U-Haul.
Oh, one thing I had about the speculation-wise, and maybe this is reading way too much into it, but in the car, Dean asks Sam if he's okay, and Sam gets all mad and says, "Why do you keep asking me that?" So that makes me wonder, is that because he's worried about how Sam came back, or was that just some random how are you feeling question?
It was obvious that it wasn't just a passing, oh, how are you doing today question.
Right.
I mean, there was a look on his face about that, and about Ruby, you know, it's obvious that Dean had some red flags go up regarding her, because she's a demon, and does that mean that Sam is fraternizing with the enemy? And he never did anything like that before he died. So I wonder if that's maybe a reference back to Sam as part demon, or Gordon was saying where he's not human.
That's right. The fact that he wouldn't freak out and attack a demon or try to kill it, instead have a chat with it, was something that seemed out of the ordinary to Dean. But from our point of view, it seemed perfectly understandable. So you wonder if he really is going to be different, or if there really is something wrong with him, or if it's just fears that Dean has.
Could be. Maybe he saw Pet Sematary, you know, where you bury the dead body and it comes back and it's just never the same afterwards.
Exactly. That resurrection stuff never works out like you want it to.
Something had to have changed in him, because he does seem different.
Dean's gone so far on the upbeat side that it does make Sam seem pretty morose. But at least he wasn't being a man-skank this episode.
You know, it almost reminds me of how Sam was when we first met him. You know, there wasn't much to this episode. I mean, yeah, a lot of stuff happened. We met people, the whole thing about the rabbit's foot, which was interesting. But there wasn't really any mythology, and we didn't really get anything answered. Or even, you know, it was funny because we always say that an episode will bring up more questions than answers. This one didn't really bring up a lot.
That's true.
It was pretty straightforward.
That's true, and there weren't a lot of scares.
I would have liked to seen the boys take the lotto tickets, though, since they wouldn't have to do their credit card scams for a while.
I completely agree. That stupid thief. It would have been nice for them to have a viable source of income for a little bit.
But there were some good quotes.
There were.
My favorite was where Sam got, you know, he lost his shoe. I lost my shoe in the grate. And he had this, like, little kid look on him. And Dean gave him the look. I'm sure it was how they were when they were, you know, 8 and 12.
Yes.
When Dean was taking care of him. And he was like, come on, Sam, move it along.
That was great. Sam, the way he said it and Dean's reaction was just perfect. And the same thing for my favorite quote, when Dean says, I'm Batman. And the way Sam's like, yeah, you're Batman.
Yeah, there were some really good ones in there. You know, really funny, upbeat ones. But then you had some of the really serious ones, too. Like Dean telling Sam that she knows that his weakness is Dean. You know, Ruby, you know, that's his weakness. And then also that what Gordon kept saying. And he said it twice in the same episode about how Sam must die and he's evil and he's not human. And wow.
Yeah.
I wonder how many other hunters feel that way.
It's true. Hopefully it's just Gordon's office rocker. And it makes you wonder, I mean, how does he have this evidence against Sam? And why is he so determined to kill him? He's got to have his reasons.
Well, do you remember back in when we saw Gordon last season, where the hunters were out killing others, and they haven't really brought that up, you know, that they were, you know, and so I wonder if maybe that's what the reference is for, where Gordon is still kind of given up hunting vampires, like he's out to save himself and save kind of what they do.
Huh, that's a good question. And then he was scared this whole time that Sam was trying to open the gate and raise an army, and it happened, and so he just assumes that Sam was the one behind it.
Well, and they wouldn't even believe Sam, or they wouldn't even let him speak, you know, to Kubrick when
right.
He was saying, no, it wasn't me. I don't have my powers anymore. Well, maybe he does. Maybe it's a mind thing where you have to believe that you have them, or I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't, but maybe he still does because he might be part demon. We never know.
That's right. Dun, dun, dun.
Insert scary music here.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions yet about Sam, and I thought maybe some of the stuff had cleaned up last season in the finale, but it's obvious it hasn't.
Which I guess keeps the mystery going.
And it seems to be an episode where a lot of people like and a lot of people don't like for the exact same reasons.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting. But I've seen more people where they like it than don't like it, so that's good.
Yeah, I think it helps to be a long-time watcher to enjoy the kind of goofy side moments with the characters.
Well, I think we're probably done here. And for those of you who haven't seen House of Wax, the new remake, definitely not worth it. Here's
hey,
my
hey.
Little 3-second review of House of Wax. If you want to see it because Jared Padalecki's in it, you can probably just watch the first part of the film and get the idea. Not a good remake. Go see the Vincent Price.
There you have it.
Okay, next we have legends and references, and as far as legends, there really wasn't much in this episode. However, the first one that we saw was Rabbit's Foot, and in this episode, they were pretty specific on how it worked. You touch it, you own it. It's cursed to kill people, and it was made by a Baton Rouge hoodoo conjurer about 100 years ago. The Rabbit Foot has to be made in a cemetery at a full moon on Friday the 13th. You get a run of good luck, but if you lose it, your luck turns so bad you're dead within a week. The curse can only be broken by destroying the rabbit's foot, and the ritual involves a burning ceremony in a cemetery with bone ash and cayenne pepper. The next one is the Ouija board, and Bella used this to contact spirits of those killed by the rabbit's foot who told her where the foot was located. We saw Sam use one to contact Dean in the premiere of Season 2, In My Time of Dying, and we've discussed this before, but here's a quick summary. A Ouija board is a spirit board, commonly referred to as a Ouija board. It's a name trademarked by Parker Brothers. That's right, kids. The Game Board Company. It's a board that's used as a tool to contact spirits. The fingers of the participants are placed on the planchette, and the triangle or heart-shaped pointer is used, and it moves around a board covered with numbers, letters, and symbols in order to spell out messages. The next one was the curse box, and this is to keep the evil mojo in. In this episode, it was built to contain the power of the cursed object, in this case, the rabbit's foot. Bobby built the boxes, and the idea of the curse box might have come from the legend of Pandora's box, which was a box that holds all the evil and all the diseases in the world until, once it's opened, it releases all the evil upon the world, leaving only hope behind. I like the idea of the curse box. I think that was kind of a fun little touch on the episode. And they also mentioned fetishes, and these are objects that people believe to have supernatural powers or power over others. While objects in many religions fall under this definition, it's commonly used to describe items used in West African religions, voodoo, and some Native American religions. A fetish is usually a hand-carved or otherwise constructed object. It's usually adorned with animal parts such as claws, teeth, or fur, plant products, or human ingredients such as blood or hair. And we had some references in this episode. The first one I want to talk about is where I think they got the name Bella Talbot. She's our new character, the bounty hunter. Her nickname, as she's known, is Lugosi. Now, Bella's a pretty obvious play on Bela Lugosi, who was an actor in horror movies way back in the 30s. He was in all sorts of great stuff. But interestingly, Bella's last name, Talbot, may be a play on Lawrence Stuart Talbot. He's a fictional character in the 1941 horror movie The Wolfman, where Bela Lugosi played a werewolf named Bella. As far as cultural references go, the title Bad Day at Black Rock that we have of this episode is a title of a 1955 film starring Spencer Tracy as a mysterious stranger who arrives in a small town in search of someone and ends up changing life in the town forever. I don't want to give much away as far as the plot of this film, but it's actually pretty well mirrored with what happened in the episode, so I encourage you to go check it out. It's an old film, but I think you'll like it. And the new character that we were introduced to as well, Kubrick, his name is possibly a reference to the movie director Stanley Kubrick, who directed The Shining, as we know, one of Dean's favorite movies. And Dean had a quote saying, "Don't worry, Bobby, we'll find a way to break it. Until then, I say we hit Vegas. Pull a little Rain Man. You can be Rain Man." And Rain Man was a 1988 movie starring Tom Cruise as Charlie, with Dustin Hoffman as his autistic savant brother, Raymond. During the film, Charlie uses Raymond's mathematical genius to win at the casinos in Vegas. And I'm sure everybody knows this, but Dean's infamous quote, "I'm Batman." Well, Batman, a.k.a. the Caped Crusader, is a superhero created by DC Comics in 1939. His secret identity is as a millionaire named Bruce Wayne. Unlike many superheroes, he does not possess any special powers, but is renowned for his physical abilities and particularly his use of gadgets and technology. Batman also featured in a 1960s Camp Romp TV series with Adam West and a series of blockbuster movies. And we also hear that John Winchester used the alias Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce was a renowned American psychic from the first half of the 20th century who is considered the antecedent of the modern New Age movement. So, the music in this episode, there were only a couple songs. There was Daniel May, Women's Wear, and this played in the diner when Bella spills the coffee on Sam. It was also played in Simon Said last season. And also they played Mary Ford and Les Paul's song Vaya Con Dios, which plays when the boys go to the thieves' house to get information on Bella. The song of the night tonight is The Way You Are by 46 Bliss. This is a frequent play on my iPod as it can be found on the Veronica Mars soundtrack, but this song is brought to you tonight by the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network. Enjoy.
The way you are alone. place, put yourself in my 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 place,
That's it for this week. The next all-new episode airs this Thursday on the CW. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Podcast. You can visit my website at supernaturalpodcast.blogspot.com or send me an email at supernaturalpodcast@gmail.com. Please note that the opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and not of the producers of Supernatural or the CW. Audio clips played on this podcast are property of the CW and no infringement is intended. Some of the music heard here is from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.